Well, we hope that was fun.
That was great.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so welcome back. For those of you who are here, since we got started so late and since so many people had difficulty getting in tonight, we realize we only have 45 minutes for questions. For you who are still here in front of us and so forth, if any of you would like to start the question set, we'll go ahead and start with you. And there's Sandy Fauché. Hi, Sandy. Well, I'm not seeing any hands up. Were we so brilliant that we were able to actually inform you of everything that you needed or wanted to know? All right. Catherine Schwanger. Yes, you have a question. Go ahead, Catherine, wherever you are.
I was curious when you referenced the chief feature of the year being greed, and that there'll be a lot of people who will be feeling a strong pull to those negative pulls of me, 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 and I get mine and no one else gets theirs. Combined with the sage cast, the king with the sage essence twin, who manifests an impressive number of the negative overleafs, negative pulls of his overleafs. Does this give him more possibility of people supporting him because they will see him being, oh yeah, he's in for the me, me, me as well, and we're going to screw everyone else out of anything if it's not getting for us. Does that give him more validity in the election process?
In a general sense, believe it or not, no. But what it does do is it absolutely galvanizes the people who are behind him. It's not so much that, interestingly enough, that there are a number of people whose greed will is not in alignment with the same kind of motives of me, me, me that Mr. Trump and a lot of his more call them, blue collar followers. And that's not meant as a diminution of their humanity at all, but rather the fact that in fact that it's that layer. Because the number of people who supported him before, who were of the more educated and or have their own wealth preservation in mind, realize that he is actually much more of a disruptive force than a beneficial one. In spite of, the fact that the Republican Party still loves to go after the Democrats, and so forth, President Biden, who, by the way, is a sage, actually has done an enormous amount of things to reach out behind the scenes to these people and shore them up. So their desire to really see Trump have another term in office is really quite contrary to their needs and wants. So what you're liable to see is a disillusionment and also an internal set of competing factors, go after and disrupt his base. Interestingly enough, the warrior Nikki Haley is going to be one of those, because there's a certain faction of people in there that like her level of rhetoric, including the idea of potentially, forgiving Trump, and whether she does or not, she's not going to be president. But nonetheless, it kind of makes it so that even within groups of within the Republican Party, they could say, well, she's going to be business as usual, so she's good enough, so we'll take her, kind of thing. But she does have a much more centrist kind of way of looking at economics and other social issues. So her rhetoric is going to create, a rift there too. So in but for his base and for his those people who have a such a reductionistic view of reality and who are stuck, particularly the baby and young souls who really, really feel stuck in victimization because they don't feel heard. They don't feel understood. And when you heard us mention the concept of context before, most of you old souls just don't get their context at all. because it's in many ways it is very simplistic and childish or childlike, let's say that. Their understanding of worldly systems is not at all sophisticated. And so Trump, what he plays on really well is such overly simplified, two-dimensional, like we described in our comparative images when we talked about systems. These folks cannot make that leap. You guys need to, so that if you are going to find ways to, for those people, if you don't build bridges, hey, at least you could build disruption. You could at least place doubt. You can, and that's happening on a lot of, meaning you as individuals, but also a lot of mature souls out there in the last 2 years have really gone after a lot of the kind of assertions of, the Republican Party, and a lot of the assertions of conservatives, and introduced a lot of doubt and said, gee, isn't that interesting? Joe Biden continues to add jobs. And wait a minute, you guys say you like guns, so hey, there's a war out there, and it's for the Jews, and you Christians, hey, you want to see this, don't you? And turning their own logic on its head and back at them. So it places doubt by showing, their own statements as being not only erroneous, but contrary to actual benefit to them. So that kind of thing is, has been useful just by continuing to add facts, so to speak. Add facts and stir, as it were. So we'll pause for a minute and ask, does that make sense? And did that answer most of the gist of your question?
It makes sense. I think it answers most of the gist of the question. I'm still concerned about that, whether those who are undecided will decide just not to vote, or whether they'll go with Trump and hold their nose because they want a Republican as opposed to a Democrat.
Yeah, this is a non-neutral year. Everyone will take a side. And with aggression and moving center, there's too many action overleaves in play for people to just non-participate. We don't see a lot of non-participation in this, election year. We see a lot of participation. Okay, so let's see. I believe Brad, you had, so if that's done, we'll move on to Brad. Thank you, Catherine. Brad, unmute yourself and ask your question wherever you are.
Hello.
Hello. There we see your hand and your beard.
Okay, in my beard. All right, the phone kind of a funny spot.
Well, we're glad it's humorous.
So not too far off the same subject. I go between the serenity prayer and then wanting to freak out when it comes to the realm of Trump. I'm a strong believer in the serenity prayer, but just because I believe in it doesn't mean it always works for me, especially not with the likes of that. So I'm trying to find where's my question. I guess I'm still just, that part of me that really is very afraid, wants to look at Canada as my wife rolls her eyes, as she has so many times before. Previous years when I've talked about that, this is, whenever it's election cycle, I at least dip my toe into that. Only this time I actually started to look into something for real, not like the actual final acts of moving, but what does it take to do that? And looking at getting passports that we actually don't even have those. But I guess I'm just kind of wondering, is there anything that's not illogical about that kind of thinking, that self-preservation sort of mode where I feel like even though I'm not necessarily thinking it's highly likely, there's still a part of me because of my biological heritage that makes me a little bit more likely to fear this kind of stuff, and the comparisons that are drawn very accurately between him and Hitler, that I do think about. We at least need to contemplate the idea of would we be living in a country that's actually safe? Either from the Jewish perspective or from any other, just general safety perspective. Yeah. And so, Catherine, so I'm seeing a few comments from people.
Yeah. Well, you have support here, you know, obviously, and you have like-minded people. We want to acknowledge, you know, that feminine energy people are going to be much more triggered by somebody like, you know, Trump and high aggression and so forth. But also you being of, you know, of Jewish ancestry, seeing the paradoxical, you know, high pro-Israel stance in the world, and yet also resurgence of anti-Semitism. It's like it that shows the, you know, paradoxical, contradictory kind of miasm of insanity that's going on. Now, as far as being in this world, Brad, and you as a Jew, as opposed to you as an old soul, let's do that. As an old soul, you didn't sign up for personal attack based on anti-Semitism. You're actually more of a target because you're a therapist and a very slender-bodied liberal male. Okay, I mean, if you were ever getting any violence, it wouldn't be because, you know, they think of you as a Jew. They think of you, you know, as a, you know, a forgive the slang, a liberal pussy, right? That kind of a thing. Now, having said that, as far as the likelihood, even in the parallels where Trump does get back in, his ability to actually marshal a police state or let loose a chaos state is far less likely than a lot of things, at least in terms of, you know, people's personal safety. And you live in California, you are in a metropolitan area, you are much less likely to incur or to encounter any of that. Also, we would point out that it's a lot more conservative in Canada than many people like to speak about. And it's not to say that you would go there and find anti-Semitism. It's more like you'd find anti-Americanism, because, you know, Americans have been using the Canadian border as their dump off place ever since the Vietnam War. So in any case, there is, you know, emigrating to a different country from a practical standpoint, but also as a survival standpoint, is not dealing with facing the real sense of your own vulnerability and frailty as a person. That is the part that is, you know, is really being called upon you to grab hold of aggression and counter that in yourself. The Serenity Prayer, by the way, is a prayer that essentially an angelic realm kind of hearkening. So, you know, it can be a useful thing, but for you personally, with your particular makeup, no amount of, you know, going north is necessarily going to make you feel any safer. How viable is it? You could do it, but it will take a lot more than just the remainder of the time that you've got between now and the election.
Oh, yeah.
If you're really going to move there, as opposed to just try and scooch over the border, thinking that, you know, armed rednecks are going to be chasing you up to and across the, you know, the bridges. No.
No, my thoughts aren't that. It's more of the country, you know, if he were to come into power, does go more and more autocratic, fascist, restrictive, and, you know, whatever else goes along with that bullshit.
Yeah, it would be bullshit, and it wouldn't happen quite that quickly or quite that successfully. This is still a country that has a lot of its mythos in, you know, non-authoritarian kinds of structures. And if he were to call out, you know, National Guards and armies, even a lot of these so-called, you know, police-loving, support-our-troop-loving people would be out there with their guns going, well, wait a minute, you know, this is looking like Ruby Ridge and whatever the Waco, Texas thing was. So, you know, that kind of, those kind of regional chaoses are liable to, you know, flare up as well. But also mm-hmm. the forces of law, you know, there are a lot of pugnacious people who would not give up, and the courts would not just collapse inward. Not immediately, even those that are largely conservatively controlled. So.
Yeah.
We realize that didn't do anything to assuage the emotion of fear that's going through you. But we would say to you that keeping your, you know, if you want to do, you know, exercise pragmatism and exercise, you know, all the various overleaves that are support any kind of proactive movement, you've got them, then start doing it. And then after the day, you know, after the day after the election, you can decide what you want to do. But we really get that your wife and kids don't want to go with you.
Yeah. And it isn't the thought of I'm going to run across the border on, you know, January 6th, 2025 or something. It's thinking of, you know, that's the only way my mind works with it is I know it's not going to happen overnight.
Right.
Anything like okay. that. But it's in the long run over a year or two or three.
Then we would tell you this.
Yeah.
Use impatience for the positive part of it, which is seize the moment. Then don't hesitate. Keep on your work. See what it would be like to emigrate to a different country. You know, you're saying Canada, but
yeah.
You know, I mean, what about the European Union, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I mean, granted, there are other factions over there that are, you know, equally doing, but nonetheless, do your work. You're a scholar. So research.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Very good. So thanks. Now we're going to go to our third scholar of the evening. Nan, you're up.
What I've been thinking about is so much of the conversation has been about the United States. And I really find this a scary election year. But the whole world, with things like King and aggression and and there are autocratic things going on in so many places. The gangs in Latin America, and then there's Putin and there's Xi in China, and frankly, I think Netanyahu is an autocrat.
Yes.
And there are some in Europe that are creating autocracies. To me, the whole world is becoming a scary place.
Yeah. We wouldn't disagree with you, Ian. What we would say is the kind of fear that you are looking at is has two major sources, and then the reaction of autocracy, a totalitarianism, is a strategy to try and cope with fear. The first part of it is that human beings have overpopulated this planet to the hilt, and it is further than the planet itself in deep peril. We're going to introduce a concept tonight that we're going to stay with for years to come. We've been thinking about it for quite some time. We're going to call that part of the Homo sapiens species that are still truly in the mindset of the baby, young, mature soul paradigm, excuse me, the baby, young paradigm. We're going to call them sapiens in the same way that Noah Yuval Harari did in his book, Sapiens. That is to say, they are conscious, but they are not really aware. They work within social systems. They have the ability, of course, to to speak and participate in whatever. But when it comes to deep interpersonal self-awareness, that is a purview of the graduation to humanness. Now, we're not saying these people are bad, and we're not saying humans are, quote, good, but we're saying the mature and old soul paradigm, people have a degree of self-awareness where they take into account, because they have to, bigger consequences. You are feeling that. You are sensing this compression of the earth under threat and the sheer number of human beings pouring emotion, much of it unconscious through sapiens, into the collective unconscious. And you folks who are conscious are like the, you're like the spouts where the underground river shoots little springs or little geysers up through the ground. So all that fear that's in their suppression, you guys are feeling it as these little springs. And why we give you this image is to know that to a great degree, your ability to cope with it is, first of all, the ability to name it and to know that that's the process, that's the image, and to turn off or patch yourself as the spigot. Because as we said, in many real ways, humanity has never had it so good. The vast majority of humanity is fed or has access to food. It has access to medicine. Even those people in this country that are homeless and or in the world that are facing economic refugees, there is still enough out there that could go to them, even if it's not being apportioned to them, because you're having this concentration of power, which is why authoritarianism is working. Authoritarianism is that combination of the power elite who are taking it and want to encourage it, and those demagogues who try and stir up the masses to look across at the other human beings who are just in the same boat they are and blame them, a scapegoat, like Brad was talking about. And yet the real issue and the real problem with the world is this, you know, very pointed inequality from top and bottom. Now, authoritarianism ultimately crumbles from the top downward because it cannot hold in the long run. Too few having too much, maintaining that much power just doesn't function when you have a whole lot below. And yet, let's switch terminology and let's put it, the end of the young soul era has had, you know, 20,000 years of infant, baby, and young soul history built on all of its assumptions, beliefs, viewpoints, and even the accumulation of all the souls that are here. But you, as that group of mature and old souls who have grown up to that, but who are personally older, are tilting the scales on a collective basis. And whenever that kind of a shift happens, there is always going to be this kind of instability, and fear of change is always going to be the systemic byproduct of that. So what we're saying is, Nan, is not to invalidate your fear or your sense of it in any way, shape, or form, to acknowledge your accuracy of identifying what's happening absolutely correctly, and we agree, and yet to know that this is part of the transition that inevitably, really, now was set on a course, because many of you young and mature, old and mature souls who came in, who thought you were going to be able to launch post-World War II, a more peaceful, transitional, you know, world, weren't able to do it. Why? Because the young and baby soul backlashes that continue to hold things in regression and hold things in place exhausted many of you and or stifled your collective activities. So what it did is it just left it in the same trajectory that it's always been for yet one more round. And that is conflict, certain degrees of conflagration, a breakdown to certain degrees of institution, dislocation, and then reorientation. And unfortunately, it's unpleasant to think of, but the thing that we want to say is that most of you in this group here tonight will really not feel personally the majority of the effects as far as your real impacts on your lives, but you will see it everywhere and you will commiserate deeply at the level at which it traumatizes you. But as far as actual real effects, they will be minimal. And we're offering you that not as a way of trying to assuage your fear personally, Nan, but to help you to understand that the real battle that's going to be waged, to even use that kind of metaphor in an aggression year, is going to be, you know, those, you know, that large mature soul population, but with the influence of older souls standing up and holding to principle, holding to contribution to those organized groups and putting that energy out and supporting that. That's one of the reasons we will say, and it's the first time tonight you will hear us say it, we do not think Mr. Trump will win the next election. We don't, because of some of the things we've already said, but we haven't even mentioned the fact that we think that Mr. Biden and his party is going to come out swinging. Remember, they're the sages, and it's also aggression. And one of the things that you can use aggression for is absolutely whomping people with the truth, especially when you're dealing with liars. And it doesn't have to be nice. It doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be civil. In fact, it won't be. But boy, will it be evidentiary. Boy, will it be really hard-hitting. And the more of that continued recall back to, you know, we're going to get revenge, and we're going to, in other words, it's going to start to ring hollow, not because he can't do it, but because a lot of the people who are behind him already realize that'll only take them so far. And they'll crumble around him. So you're right, though. We would agree. Authoritarianism and totalitarianism in the world is equally paralleling, however, the most instantaneous connectedness that this planet has ever had on a technological level. Any of you can talk to anybody else virtually any time. And so that's also happening, and that's the opposite capacity that the totalitarian wants to impose, which is to separate people and keep them isolated. So, did that assist, Nan? Did that answer some of your question?
Yeah, it sort of reinforced my direct external situation is okay.
Yes.
Watching the world is upsetting.
Yes. Yes, we agree.
As I say, I'm kind of afraid of the election year, but it's just been stated that the Democratic side will do well, which is what we're going to need this year.
What you're actually going to need is great participation.
There's five more hands raised.
Yes, and what we want to say is great participation and verbal input. That's what the energies of this year is about. Utilize them. So, Angela, we believe you were next. Thank you, Nan. So now we shift from scholars to sages.
Okay. Well, first of all, Nan, all I can say is if you have access to YouTube, watch some of the animal videos. Like, there are these people out in Africa, on the west coast of Africa. The west coast of Africa, in a place called Namibia, who are rescuing seals by capturing them and taking plastic and fishing line and everything off from them, and then sending them back out into the oceans. And so, I start my day watching them
So
because,
something inspirational, in other words, Angela, correct?
yes,
That's
exactly.
hopeful. That is actually hands-on contribution to making things better. Yes, very good.
I have a documentary out, and I hope their message gets out to, the rest of the world, to see what they're doing. And also, as a sage, I like to say, although I don't do it as my mom, really had to learn to curb myself, I have a black belt in verbal karate. So, in terms of speaking up and speaking out and sort of giving people a tongue lashing, I mean, I'm very good at it, although it's not something I tend to do very much anymore. Moving on to, I'm glad to hear you say that you think Trump won't win, because truthfully, I was getting very concerned when, he's openly talking about being a dictator, and now he's saying for a day, oh yeah, sure, like I believe him. And feeling very, having a difficult time with seeing the institutions that should be having our back, not, the court system especially, where they're bending over backwards for him every step of the way instead of throwing him in jail where he belongs. But that's just
That's
me.
true of the extreme court, yes.
And I don't trust the Supreme Court. Not with all those people that he's put on there. I don't, I just don't trust him. We'll see. Because if he has his way, I have a feeling he's going to turn this entire place into a concentration camp. But like you say, let's hope that there'll be a lot more resistance to that than he figured on.
Not only that, there's not that much money to be made on it for him. And that's what he's looking for. He's looking to, to cash in like he did during presidency and at after presidency. He milks people tremendously well. And they want to do it. But so that kind of thing isn't as as lucrative for him. And besides that, the other demigods in the world, even the ones who seem to want to line up behind him, or at least have their own version of totalitarian inklings, whether it's Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos, under a more understated Bill Gates, they don't want that kind of thing. They want you all consuming, and you can't consume if you're, if you're slaves, servants, or somehow obstructed in any case in that regard. So we think the probability is lower, but it doesn't mean it can't change. Several of our channels predicted that Hillary Clinton would win, and of course she actually did win the popular vote by about 3 million, but that didn't, mean anything in terms of the excuse me, electoral vote. So anyway.
And so finally, I wanted to say, I guess I'm feeling this sage energy coming in because, like, all of a sudden I feel it's not like I'm real super energetic, but I'm feeling like this pickup in energy and not feeling so, personally, not feeling so tired and washed out and feeling like I can do more than, than what I've been doing and sort of getting my act together. So I'm glad that you reminded me that this is a sage year this year, because it seems to be working, at least for me, at least for the time being. And I personally plan to spend not my whole time, not a lot of time on politics because of how it personally makes me feel and how it drags my energy down. So,
Right, it's a low vibration thing. Laugh at stupidity instead. If you can
I
laugh,
agree.
if you can find laughter, and if you can laugh at stupidity, you will help disrupt that vibration, and and even banish it. And you don't even have to explain why you laugh. You could just, when you hear it, you just go, "Oh, that's so funny," and
Oh, aren't you
so
so
it,
cute?
yes,
Bless your
exactly.
cute chicken heart,
Or something thereof.
or something thereof. Anyway,
So do
that's.
you feel complete for the moment?
I
We've got
do
a
feel
bunch of other
complete.
hands. All right, thank you, Angela. Jillian, you're up next.
I am there.
Ah,
I
there you are.
So this was really interesting. I, in fact, do spend a really large chunk of my time on politics. I would say I'm a community organizer, and I have been told by many people that if Trump has his wish, there's no question that I'll be one of those people who gets rounded up, because I'm out there and I have been. I spent the first half of my life around powerful people. I spent the last half of my life around hyper wealthy people, like the Peter Thiels of the world. And it hasn't impressed me. But what I have found is that at a certain point, the Elon Musks and the Peter Thiels and others, after they have a lot of money, they switch to power. Like that's what they really want is power. And what I like Nan, I'm concerned about the global situation where we've got Putin, we have we've got leaders around the world who are autocratic, and they're supported and have alignments with the billionaires. And billionaires are not, they don't see themselves in a lot of times as American. They see themselves as men of the world. They're like,
Demigods.
and so I look at the things and think we're doing some things that are hopeful. I work with people, we organize, we get things done, and I look at Jack Smith and I think he's got a hell of a case. If there's a reasonable court, Trump will be found guilty, but then what? But mostly what I look at is, do we have time? Do we have time to turn things around? Because it's no longer that people even believe in Trump. They say, I don't care if he's telling the truth, I like him. Or owning the libs is enough. There's such a polarity. And I feel like I'm very much a Democrat, and I feel like we play by the rules, and the other side doesn't play by the rules. It's really hard to win when your opponent is cheating. And we'll do whatever to win. So I look at the Leonard Leos and this and SCOTUS and all of this, and are they going to get away with it? Do we even have time between now and November to turn things around? And that's my question.
Most of the parallels, we can tell you, Jillian, it's neck and neck. But right now, most of the parallels are saying that it's going to head off Trump anyway. Conservatism or the kind of fanaticism that's out there is still going to be there as long as we have the as long as you have the income inequality circumstances that you have in the world today and. That you have a shrinking resource base that you do in the world today.
And we've got people like, I mean, I don't know if any, but I used to spend a lot of time on Twitter, but Elon Musk has decided he just wants to have a shit show. And it's for his own amusement. And it doesn't really matter if he's losing billions of dollars, which he is. It's like, let's see if we can set off a bomb and see how much destruction we can have. I think women have been women's rights, women's choice has been really key, because people, male and female, have stood up and said, "Oh no, you don't get to, don't get to take life away from women." And so when it's on the ballot, we win, and we're trying to get it on the ballot more. But I mean, just the idea that we're having to hold up women whose lives are, their lives are being ruined, their lives are being lost, over. I mean, I have a meme that says politicians make lousy gynecologists. It's surreal to me. It's just surreal to me.
We agree. The arc of all this will happen more or less because the planet is in peril. Human response to it will either accelerate or decelerate and then accelerate the planet. That's basically the unfortunate crossroads that humanity is at. And the question is, what will human beings do in regards to, and this is a pivotal year. And we think that many of you who we called humans of conscience, of awareness, can and do enough just to keep those scales tilted. But it won't erase all that you said. And that is the ultra hyper wealth and the concentration of power that's been happening on this planet, in you within your you know, political economy.
Right.
But within 10 years, the potential for conflagration on a, you know, and just millions of bodies, homeless or otherwise, and many of them in militaries across the world, you know, throughout history, they just turn on their masters, no matter how good their technology is. Now, when and how and will that and all that will happen? Probabilities are higher than ever about that eventuality coming to pass. And that's regardless of who you put in the White House this time. But we can tell you it will certainly serve to flatten off the racing to the head of the point of that if Mr. Trump is not put in the White House.
Could you give me some, this is the last thing. Do you have a, have you looked at Jack Smith, and do you see him being successful? What's his role and goal? I mean, it just seems like perseverance is his thing, but I don't know if Jack Smith can do it.
He looks to us to be a King Cass scholar. He's a skeptic, very shrewd. That's the right word for him. Very shrewd. 90% masculine energy. It's interesting, you know, the last time we saw, you know, that what was the previous fellow that, you know, took on to investigate Trump, but not prosecute him, the whatever his name was, who ended up dropping the ball. But this guy, he's not going to drop the ball. And he will win his case. The question is, as you rightly point out, what will happen next? Mueller, thank you. Yes, Terry. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, so Tawana, you're next in the queue. You're up. And then Karen, and then Terry, and Terry Benning will be the last of the questions we'll take tonight.
Okay, thanks. Hey, I just have a quick one. What do you see at this point in time, the probability of a pandemic in 2025?
It's still ranges. It looks like it might hit in 2026 instead of 2025. We had thought it would be 2025. But this latest round of several vaccines that they've done with, you know, the, what is it, the RSV or RVS, and then plus the two new COVID strains, there's been enough or adaptation of the population across the globe that it is slowing down the next viral outbreaks. So in 2025, maybe 30%.
Okay.
Yeah, but it won't be the return to the same kind of pandemic conditions that you had in 2020.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Certainly. Karen, you're up next.
Jillian brought up you know, the issue of the women. And I really, because I mean, honestly, I do not see Trump going back into office. I see the Republicans crumbling into a disaster. I mean, I think they've overplayed their hand with the abortion issue. And I did want to bring up if Michael also sees the probability of women really, really, really showing up, whether they're blue or red, and voting against Trump and authoritarianism, because I think women, no matter which side you're on, you understand biologically the disaster of banning abortions, even if it's putting a woman's life in danger. They medically understand the dangers of allowing this to take hold. Does Michael also see, like, really the women kind of hiding their hand, you know? In a red household, even.
How to answer this? We're going to take a slightly different emphasis. The answer is yes. We see in general, femaledom, womanhood, realizing that they are once again being singled out as the object. but even a lot of conservative women who think they have the secret advantage of, well, if they really needed one, they could fly somewhere or go somewhere and that sort of thing. Actually are really aware that the, like, for instance, the concept put forward by Margaret Atwood in her book The Handmaid's Tale is actually coming more to fruition as far as losses of anything that they've gained. You know, there's a lot of quote, conservative women who are successful business people who believe as long as I've got my advantage, I'm good. Heck, you know a number of these women, right? But when they start having to personalize, well, wait a minute, what if it's not just abortion? What if it goes, starts going backward, that, my hard-earned gains are going to be taken away from me. Then that kind of, again, we called it the me orientation of greed is going to make them say secretly, well, I'm actually going to vote for Nikki Haley or Chris Christie, or personally on the ballot, they're going to leave off a vote for, some of the people that they would have otherwise, automatically gone down and voted as a block on. Because they don't want to be held accountable that they stood up, but they don't also want to be dealing with the consequences that they didn't. So.
Because even if they're not all conservative women are wealthy,
No, that's true.
and
No,
so
that's
they
true.
can't leave. And if their doctors are leaving the state, their doctors they're dropping their
That's right.
OBGYN programs.
That's
I,
right.
you know, and even if you think you're safe with your little GOP voting card as a woman, not in this issue. And
Right,
the
correct.
second thing I wanted to bring up was Gen Z.
Yeah.
And we brought up the anti-Semitism, and that's gotten wonky because now the progressives are getting labeled as the anti-Semites, and the Republicans are looking as like the better what's the word I'm looking for? They're not
The
even though
more
they're
tolerant.
yeah, because I mean there's that whole faction of like the deeply conservative anti-Semite, like but then there's the Gen Z now that's protesting Israel, and now they're all hyped up
Well, that's one of the
and they're being
places where
progressive in bad
and
ways, and that's really scary to me.
yeah, well, that's one of the places that reasserting principles and meanings and words has to be, the narrative has to be taken back. Because the conservatives too easily just put it out, well, if you're anti-Israel, you're anti-Semitic. That is such a shallow equation. But it was effective because everybody just went into shock and accepted it. That's nonsense. You're anti-totalitarian. You're anti-Benjamin Netanyahu and militarism. Because he is literally carrying out the same kind of war of extermination that Hitler did on his own people. It is literally. And years ago, a couple of our channels, and we still agree with this, you know who most of the leadership of the Israeli state were reincarnated Nazis who felt like their way of paying back karma was to help build up the strong state of Israel. Right? And so they've done that. They've made it another Nazi Germany. And because it's even smaller and even more research resource limited than Germany was, the extermination of the Palestinians essentially, and we use that word sadly, but literally, the extermination of the Palestinians in Gaza and then the rest of the those territories is the almost crippling mindset that many of these folks in the leadership of Israel have, and they have allowed it through attrition, just like in America allowed the ability of the conservatives to become closer and closer to authoritarian passively, step at a time, step at a time. So they also did that in Israel. Now there's a whole swath of Israel. Of people from Israel who are protesting their own government. But you do not get that much of the press about it. And this is where the war of words, if you will, has to be waged. And that's where the sages on both sides, you with quiet resolve, you as a king, literally continue to put out that narrative for supporting a government who's performing totalitarianism doesn't mean you're against a religion. You're against totalitarianism in any stripe, under any religion, under any leadership. And that's the key distinction. And that's almost exactly the phrasing that has to be said over and over and over again, even as they are screaming and bloviating because they're crazed. And they're crazed with their own form of hate-driven fear. And why are they hate-driven fear? Because they are terrified of the unknown that we said that world systems of human overpopulation and the biological devastation and tragedy that is spiraling down together. Humans are not in control of this. And yet, the more they try and take control, the worse it makes it.
And it's
And that's,
TikTok
of course,
brainwashing.
I beg your pardon?
TikTok brainwashing.
TikTok brainwashing, right? Meme, the meme mentality, down to a bulleted talking point, right? Some picture. And then, one thing we would say is we say that, the biggest problem with AI that is really going to confront all of you on a practical level, it's going to be the fact that it'll just replace a lot of jobs. And you guys got to still figure out how to make an income. But that's not the mental one. That's the practical, structural one. The one that's mental is spoofing. The fact that AI can draw just about anything, put words in the mouth of anybody, and have such complete and powerful databases and graphic creating abilities as to make it virtually indistinguishable from real life, such that you just float those around and people begin to believe misinformation and outright fabrications. And you can do, and it's done very quickly. So that's the biggest threat of AI. It's not, robots taking over. It's human stupidity escalating on itself. So
Thank you.
you're very welcome. Thank you for your question. And lastly, Terry Benning, you have your hand up. You're up.
Okay, hi.
There we go.
And everyone. I wanted to ask a question from a little bit more ordinal perspective.
Go right ahead.
Ordinal to bear here.
That's just fine.
My question would be about growth and aggression mode and impatience and all the overleaves. My tendency is to when I have a lot of stuff coming up about whatever's going on out in the world, I try to look within myself and see where my point of my point of reaction is,
Yes.
and to deal with it from an internal place so that I can clear myself so that I can move in a lower vibrational frequency and still maintain my own higher vibrational frequency,
Excellent.
like that. Okay,
Right.
so I think it's important to look at where we're being triggered, why we're being triggered. Are there past life associations, have we been through this before? Past life things getting, kicked up, or even present life. And I'm so glad you brought up about the angels and the angelic realm. That just made me really happy, Steve, because for the last year I've been working with the angelic realm, and boy, has it made a difference. It has completely helped me turn my life around.
Excellent.
That's
Excellent. And by
yeah,
the way, ladies and gentlemen, we'll even give a little bit of a commercial moment to Terry, who is also a
Oh,
Michael Channel,
I
who
got
works, who
it.
does work in the angelic realm. So if you would like to explore that on a more personal basis, while having a Michael underfooting with it, by all means, our friend here is certainly a person of renown in that regard. But your point is well
Thank you,
taken,
Steve.
Terry. You're very welcome.
Yeah.
But your point is particularly well taken about vibration and about maintaining your own in the face of all these. Because if you
Yeah,
recall
because
that,
well, no,
go
go
ahead.
ahead.
Well, just to
Oh, I was
complete.
just going to say, you know, that the angels encourage us to hand over our burdens. You know, they're coming in closer. The infinite soul's coming in closer. You know, the higher vibrational beings are coming in closer. And but we, as old souls, we think we have to do all the work. We have to carry it all on our own shoulders. And otherwise, it's not valid somehow, right? But, you know, in the last year, I've been practicing turning my burdens over. And it's just incredible, the energy, you know, the vitality that is coming back into my life. So anyway, I just wanted to talk about that and addressing it. You know, that's how I'm dealing with it from an ordinal perspective, because the rest of it is like too overwhelming.
Well, if we might say
I just
it,
can't
yeah,
deal with all of it,
yeah.
You know,
if we might say it a little bit differently, instead of using the word ordinal, we would say the word personal. And we
okay.
say the word personal because, mm-hmm. yes, I mean, we realize within our terminology, you're using the terms obviously correctly, but we wanted to use the word personal perhaps a little bit more meaningfully,
okay.
not from the standpoint of taking on this huge world burden and think that you have to solve it, but rather to understand that the enormity of this burden that you yourself can only deal with what you bring to your participation in this.
Right, right.
The degree to which then these overleaves are absolutely, they're incredible thrust for individuals
yes.
to be able
yes.
To take action and to move energies on the both the physical realm and on the angelic realm. You know, dispatch legions of angels to experience or to dispense love and blessings to all the combatants. Have Archangel Michael, you know, visit Premier Xi and President Putin and, you know, give them each a cigar and say, let's chat.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, this is not condemnation or damnation. Damnation speak will backfire on anyone. It's about
right.
saying, all right, we need our big guys to step up and start declaring principles instead of hiding behind them.
Well, and here's the thing, you know, all of these presences, they're all part of our own divinity. They're not
Absolutely.
Outside of They're not
That's
outside
right.
of us. They're
That's
part
right.
of our own divinity that we can tap into and begin to recognize, you know, a higher vibrational reality.
Yep.
I mean, you think of angels in reality, you know, but it really is. It's a higher vibrational reality that is accessible to us through some external projection onto winged people, you know, that are
right,
really aspects
right.
of who we are. They're
right,
not really,
exactly.
They're aspects of ourselves. And
That's
so
correct.
By doing that, we can begin to call on those aspects of ourselves that are higher in the higher dimensions, you know, the sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth dimensions. And so that can really help to lift our vibrations up a lot. So
it's all
anyway,
part of the it's all part mm-hmm. of the omniverse,
yeah.
you know, and they're
yeah.
all operating at various layers simultaneously.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're accessible. That's the thing. But we forget to ask
yep.
because
exactly.
we think as old souls, we have to do it ourselves or it doesn't count.
But
okay?
you're correct.
I mean, that was my
Eric.
Thing for a
putting
long
out,
time.
Putting out the request is key.
That is key because once you request, they can move. You know, they can take action. But if you don't request, they can't move. You know, it's just the cause and effect thing, you know, right? Ask the cause and then it's going to have an effect. It's going to have a reaction. It's going to have a response. So anyway, this was great. Thank you so much. for
You're very
tonight,
welcome.
Stephen, and everyone and all your great questions. It was really nice to be here tonight. I really appreciate it. Yeah.
Glad you came,
So
Terry.
thank
Thank you
you.
for your
You
participation.
too.
And
You
everyone, thank you
too.
for coming tonight. I hope that's been of use to you and of interest. As usual, I will be editing the audio portion and putting it on the website. PowerPoint presentation will be available to you to download if you wish. All right, everyone, we'll have a terrific evening. Thank you again for coming. You're going to have a dynamic 2024.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
All right,
Good night.
bye now.